what they need to do to protect all of us out there, right? I don't know. I'm hoping so. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Amy Zellmer is in the house. She will talk to us about traumatic brain injury.
Which hat are you wearing right now? If you're a small business owner, you're wearing quite a few. The CBS Small Business Pulse, built in partnership with First Data, has the insights and inspiration to help your small business grow. Visit cbspulse.com.
Jeannie Rajkumar back with you, and we are winding down the show today with a very, very inspiring woman. She's had quite a story, quite a life, and the last year and a half or so really just amplified everything for her and has really changed her life. Her name is Amy Zellmer, and she is a traumatic brain injury survivor. She's a contributor on the Huffington Post. Amy, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Roshini.
Let's start by first sharing with people what happened to you February 2014.
Well, I was taking a walk. I had to move my car out to the street at our apartment building, and I was walking down our driveway, which is slightly sloped, and I hit a patch of ice, and I had absolutely no warning, and I fell backwards and landed flat on my head.
So when and were you out? I mean, when that happened?
We don't know. I was alone, but I had my dog in my arms when I fell. And so the doctors are like, where was she when you woke up? And she was probably about 10 feet away from me. So I'm guessing I was out for probably a minute. We're not sure, though.
Okay. And then what happened next after, you know, you got started getting the medical care and you knew, you found out what was happening to you?
Yeah. You know, in the very, very beginning, that day I went to the doctor and I was told, you know, I had a pretty severe concussion and it would take a few weeks, you know, to start feeling better. Plus, I had whiplash. I had a dislocated sternum. I had a lot of physical injuries on top of it. So I think in the immediate short term, we were more concerned about the physical problems that I was having. And it wasn't until like 6 to 8 weeks that the doctor realized I was still having a lot of cognitive issues. I was having trouble recalling words. Short-term memory was gone. So it was at that point that we started realizing that I probably had more of a traumatic brain injury.
And by the way, every 13 seconds, someone in the U.S. suffers a traumatic brain injury. That's 5,000 people per day just in our country. And as Amy says, these are just the reported numbers. So many are sent home undiagnosed. What does that look like, Amy, to help parents and people out there? What is, you know, when you're sent home and you really think maybe something's happened to you or your child, how do you ask the right questions so you don't get sent home undiagnosed?
You know, I think every single time you hit your head, any concussion is a brain injury, no matter how small or how severe it is. And, you know, they really don't know how many times do you hit your head before you have major problems. It could be the first time. It could be the 10th time. So, you know, when you start having problems recalling words, the short-term memory, even long-term memory, motor function might not be working properly. Anytime that lingers for more than 24 hours, you definitely have a problem. And you would want to, you know, if you were just sent home from the ER, you'd want to try and follow up with a neurologist.
I think her name was Natasha Richardson, Liam Neeson's
wife. Yes.
Wasn't it that they didn't get her the care as quickly as she needed, or she was sent home too early, something like that.
Right.
And that was some sort of a concussion.
Yeah. And I've heard of people being sent home. The doctors just kind of brush them off. You know, all they really do in the emergency room is like, who's the president? What day of the week is it? What'd you have for dinner last night? And if you can answer those questions, they pretty much send you home. And I've heard of people going home and having a brain bleed and dying. So I was terrified of that night. I mean, we knew I had a concussion and I had someone checking on me, but it was still pretty terrifying that first night.
I'm talking with Amy Zellmer. She's a traumatic brain injury, TBI survivor. She's also a Huffington Post contributor. If you have any questions for her, give us a ring, 651-989-9226, 866-989-9226. You can also text us at 81807. TBI is the leading cause of death in the U.S. for people ages 1 to 44. That is just stunning, Amy.
Isn't that fascinating? And most people don't even really know what traumatic brain injury is or they think of the worst case scenario. They think of someone who's been in a coma, who's maybe more in a vegetative state. That's what they think of when they think of traumatic brain injury. And that's not at all the case. You don't even have to lose consciousness to have a TBI. So I guess that's why I want to bring the awareness to the general public about what TBI is and what concussions are.
And your TBI, this is, I mean, a good thing that's come out of this very sad and serious TBI is the connection now to Huffington Post. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, at my 1 year mark, I was still having a lot of issues. I was feeling frustrated that I wasn't better. And I actually blogged on my own personal blog about my story. And a friend encouraged me to submit it to Huffington Post. And I'm like, oh, what the heck? So I did. And I heard back from Arianna Huffington within like 20 minutes. And she's like, I love your story. Here's, you know, here's my editor. And we got it up online. And the response was overwhelming. I got hundreds of messages, Facebook messages, tweets, people reaching out to me because they too had had a TBI. And so it inspired me to start a private group on Facebook. I started, it's called the TBI Tribe for Survivors and Caregivers, and it has over 2,500 members just since April of this year. So
that's,
it's been pretty
really
incredible.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And what are you seeing and hearing? I mean, what can you really help share from that that will help our listeners really understand this is something they need to take seriously?
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing is people we might look totally normal. We might look fine. We might be able to talk and walk. But so people think, oh, you're fine. And we're not, you know, like for me, for instance, I have a lot of short-term memory issues. I live off of post-it notes and I have a lot of cognitive issues. Certain things are hard for me to process. Like for instance, anything with like a touch screen that I have to touch a few buttons to do something, that's very hard for me. And so it's just that invisible injury part of it that I really want people to understand. And it takes a long time. I mean, I'm at almost 18 months and I'm not recovered.
Well, and it's interesting because I remember when we chatted about this and you said, you know, my short-term memory is not good. So you keep those post-it notes, things like that. And as we were figuring out dates, I knew I wanted to make sure I put the date in writing so you could see that and put it in your calendar and have your notes and that kind of thing. Graham is calling from Somerset. Hi, Graham.
Hi, Rashini. I've got, and hello to your guest. Sorry to hear that you had such a bad head injury. I've got 2 points to bring up about, I know you won't get the helmets put on adults for motorcycles, but children should have to wear helmets when they're on their bicycles. That should be law, I think. I'm from New Zealand, and it's against the law for adults and children not to wear bicycle helmets. And the other point I was going to bring up is football. I think that your head injury concussions will dramatically be depleted if you take away the helmet. Take it away completely. Yeah, I believe it changes the dynamic of the game.
Get into that a little, Graham.
Sorry?
What do you mean by that? It's almost counterintuitive because you think, you know, football is so aggressive.
Right. It does seem counterintuitive, but I believe if you take that helmet away, you'll get less head injuries because you're the player wearing the helmet, he'll have more respect for his own body, so he will go into tackles differently and tackle differently. The whole dynamic will change. I believe if you take away a lot of take a lot of the padding away, you'll get a freer game as well.
Well, because it's probably kind of what you're saying is it helps people say, oh, I don't really want to go in as hard or things like that, because there's maybe a false sense of protection when you have all that gear on you. Is that?
That's exactly right. Yeah. You know, I just think it would be at the expense of the super hits that are always good for the replays. I think you'll have a far safer game.
Graham, let me ask you this, because I know I love your accent, by the way. I know in your part of the world, in New Zealand and Australia, rugby is so
popular.
That's
what I was going to bring
up. And
rugby
players don't wear those helmets. What do you have any sense of?
I've played rugby since I was about 4 years old. I played university rugby. I played with an All Black the year before he got into the All Blacks. So I played some high-grade rugby.
And what's the concussion scenario there?
It's not bad, not bad at all, because we take more care of our body. I mean, it's a very hard game, rugby, but the head injuries are very slight because you take more care of what you're doing.
I don't know if I agree with that, Graham, because I know that there's recently been a lot of publicity around a few recent pretty severe concussions from rugby in New Zealand and Australia. So I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, I think the theory is an interesting one, Graham. Yeah. I'm just not sure that – I don't know if our country, if the U.S. is really ready to take that risk for kids football and college and pro football yet. Yeah. But very interesting.
Very gradual.
Yeah, but absolutely agree with you on kids wearing helmets for bicycle riding and things like that. Thanks so much, Graham, for calling in.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Yeah, really some interesting comments, Amy.
Yeah, you know, and I absolutely agree with the bicycle helmets. As an adult, I've never really worn one. I will admit that. But now, since I've had a brain injury, it's like, no way, I will not get on my bicycle without a helmet.
Well, and see, there you said it. It's like you kind of had to have this very life-changing thing happen before you'd really make that move. And it's not even a drastic move to wear that helmet.
Right.
Ben Utecht, you say, is a local former NFL player. He won a Super Bowl with the Colts. He had to quit playing due to multiple concussions.
Yeah. Yep. He, you know, he's one of our local people. He had to quit because he had too many concussions. He had a lot of long-term memory problems. What's her name?
Amanda
Kessler. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she played for the Gopher Hockey, and she played at the Sochi Olympics. And I know that last year she had a pretty hard concussion, and she had to quit playing. And I think the more that professional athletes bring awareness to concussions, I think that awareness will trickle down to the general public, because the word concussion, people hear that and they brush it off. I can't tell you how many people heard about my concussion and were like, oh, you know, it's just a concussion, no big deal. And that's not at all true. So I think the more that professional athletes come forward and talking about the struggles they have with their concussions and brain injuries.
And not just the injury itself, but what happens afterward.
Yeah, right. The long-term effects of it.
Absolutely. I'm talking with Amy Zellmer. I invite you to chat with her, too. Great question from Graham, by the way. We are talking about traumatic brain injury. She's a survivor, still living with it. It has drastically affected her life. She also writes about it for the Huffington Post. If you want to chat with her, 651-989-9226 or 866-989-9226. You can also text us at 81807. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll be back. More with Amy. Rashini Rajkumar with you. We are winding down this last Sunday show in July with some inspiration. Amy Zellmer is a traumatic brain injury survivor, still living with the aftermath. She's also a contributor for the Huffington Post. We've got lots of calls. I'm going to get to them. You can text us 81807. Call 866-651-9266. I'm blanking now. 9226. Yep. Okay, anyway, we've got Denise, from Minnetonka, calling. Hi, Denise. Are you there, Denise?
Hello.
Yeah, what's your question for Amy?
Well, I actually have a traumatic brain injury. I fell from a deck where the railing gave way onto brick and rock cement, and it was about a 20-foot drop.
When did this happen, Denise?
It happened in 2001. And I don't remember any of it at all.
And how is your life now? I mean, are you better? Where are you in the process?
I am better. I had multiple injuries, like Amy, on top of my brain injury. And so I went through multiple surgeries, all that kind of stuff. And it took them a while to diagnose my brain injury as well. But once they did, I went through, it was about 3.5 years of neurotherapy, and that it helped, but it also didn't cure it.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I still have the same issues. I have no short-term memory. I repeat myself all the time.
Denise, did you have a closed head injury?
Yes.
Yeah. So it was harder. Yeah.
And what's the difference, Amy?
A closed head would just mean you don't have an open wound. You don't have a fracture. It's okay. More invisible.
Wow. These are very real stories. I want to go to Tom. Tom, what is your story?
I was working at a railroad. I still have my job there, but I've been off work since the beginning of March. And I took a step back off of a platform, and my head traveled about 12 feet to a steel rail, knocked me out, and I was out for several minutes.
Ouch.
And the doctors up at the hospital, Regions Hospital, that is, great doctors up there, they told me I had a concussion. I already knew that, but this is like my fourth one, and each one took longer to recover from. So now I'm involved with a physical therapist, an occupational therapist, through a neurological doctor and his team, and it's just been, I can understand what Amy's talking about with the short-term memory loss.
Right.
Someone can tell me something, or I can even say something, and they'll say, not even a couple minutes later, I just told you that, or yeah, you told me that already. Or,
yep, I know that feeling.
do you both feel like you have to write little notes, like constantly keep a notepad with you?
Yep.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I actually do. And matter of fact, I was getting a ride to my brother's house one day, and I forgot how to get to his house.
Oh,
and
wow.
And I've been here many, many times, and I had to call him up and say, Jeff, I forgot how to get to your house. And
oh,
we kind of joked about it, but by the time I got there, he goes, oh, I forgot you hit your head. And I said, man.
Yes.
I said, you know what? I don't mean to laugh about it, but it's just a
Well, you know what, Tom? I'm glad you can laugh. You know what I mean? On one level. And good luck to you, my friend. Thank you so much for calling and sharing that story. A couple quick texts, Amy. This listener says, appreciate TBI topic. Going on 16 years since mine, most pronounced for me are the ongoing migraines. One person says, how much progress had you made at 3 months after your injury, Amy? What kinds of therapy did you have? If you could give them a really quick answer, because I want to get to Bob on the line.
At 3 months, I was just getting my first MRI, and I had no therapies yet at that point.
No therapies. Yeah. Okay. Bob, thanks for holding.
Hello.
Hi. What's your story?
Bob, a question for Amy. Amy, TBI is a brutal diagnosis. What is your most difficult part of the process you're in?
I know, Bob. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Amy.
The most difficult part, I think, has been the memory loss and the cognitive functioning. The cognitive stuff has gotten quite a bit better, but the memory, it's that short-term memory. I can forget to rotate laundry for days.
Really?
Yeah, it's really frustrating. I have to write a note.
Rotate laundry. Oh, Amy, okay. So, you know what? I'm glad you can keep your sense of humor. You're such an inspirational person. You've really taken this tragic event in your life, and you've made a community. In fact, it's called the TBI Tribe on Facebook. Now, that's a closed group.
Yep.
Can our listeners get in on it?
Yep, they can request to join. Yep.
Okay, so easy to do on Facebook. Go in there, and if people miss parts of this interview, it'll be available on my show page by morning. You can get the podcast, play.it, as you know, all our shows podcast. Absolutely, just amazing story. Amy Zellmer is a traumatic brain injury survivor, and I say that word not lightly, because you really have survived something so amazingly traumatic, and it's something that is that happens to an American every 13 seconds. Someone in our country suffers a traumatic brain injury, and I really hope, because of this conversation with Amy today, you take what she's saying seriously. Don't let them send you home from the hospital without really verifying that fall, or what you think might have been a low-grade concussion, isn't something worse.
Right. Right. And, you know, and I live alone. And so I was going to all my doctor's appointments alone. I'm home alone. And when I look back and realize how foggy I really was those first few months, I wish that I had had somebody to help advocate for me and go to doctor's appointments that could be more of an advocate for my health.
And it sounds like the TBI Tribe is you're getting some a good community growing.
Yes.
There. And you can also check out her posts on Huffington Post. She's a contributor. She's got lots of links. Thank you so much, Amy Zellmer. Really great to hear where you are a year and a half after your traumatic brain injury.
Yes. Thanks for having me, Roshini.
All right. And go and get on there, the TBI Tribe on Facebook. Thanks so much for spending part of your Sunday with me. What a great show. Some fabulous guests we had today. Always a pleasure to have you with us. We'll be back next Sunday from 12 to 3. We'll preview the first presidential debate. Oh boy, I cannot wait for that thing. It's going to be quite interesting with the Donald and 16 Republican candidates right now. I understand only 10 of them will be debating, but it should be interesting nonetheless. We have some very special people who will be in studio previewing that with us next Sunday. Eric Nelson is up next with Sports Sunday. Make it a fabulous week. Rashini Rajkumar signing out.
Which hat are you wearing right now? If you're a small business owner, you're wearing quite a few. The CBS Small Business Pulse, built in partnership with First Data, has the insights and inspiration to help your small business grow. Visit cbspulse.com.